Sprint Cars, Super Late Models, Thunder Cars, Modifieds, World of Outlaws, Arcas, all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, fame, short tracks. All the way to the high-banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
Here's your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight live on SiriusXM Channel 167. I am Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr. here in the RTR studio, all set and ready to go. Jr., it's been a long 10 weeks since we've been on here, but we're back.
We're back on the air. I just sent out a tweet. We're back. You know, that's cool. It's awesome to be back and on a heck of a night to be back, too. Snowball Derby night.
Yeah. We're going to talk lots about the Derby tonight, I can well imagine. Let me tell you who we got on tonight's show. But before I do want to say thanks to absolutely all the listeners for the support and your patience waiting the 10 weeks till we get back on the air. We got all those cancer things all taken care of and feeling kind of good, feeling real good. As a matter of fact, a little tired today. It was a busy, busy weekend. I was off to Canada's East Coast, out to Newfoundland, flew out there Friday, flew back this morning at 5 a.m. out there for the awards presentation at Eastbound International Speedway. And man, what a time out there, Junior. I know you had a blast too. You were at DJ K's Christmas party. It was a busy weekend.
It was a busy weekend. Yeah, we kind of all went in different directions, but sounds like you guys had a blast at the awards banquet. Sounds like there was a great turnout out there, and you know, yesterday night was an awesome time for us over at we went out for dinner, a nice team dinner, and then after that we all got together. We went to Battle Axe.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, BATL Battle Axe. If you haven't been, you have to go.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that over the course of the show. But I tell you what, we had a good time.
Yeah,
you can drink beer as long as you're standing behind the line, and then after that, you can throw axes at wood.
Wow,
that's a heck of a time right there.
It sounds like a safe thing to do.
Most Canadian thing you could possibly think of, and it was a gas.
And that's why you bought that flannel looking coat.
That's right. I was a lumberjack.
Yeah,
I was a lumberjack.
Incredible.
Now I did not throw an axe like a true lumberjack.
Yeah.
I was like P6 at best out of the group. I got waxed pretty good, but got to hand it out to number two. Of course, Brandon on our team, he waxed the field. He was getting numbers like you wouldn't believe, but he kicked our asses.
He's been there before.
No, he was a rookie. DJ,
yeah.
I will say, I posted a video of DJ throwing an axe. I posted two of them, of DJ Kennington throwing an axe, and I want to make it clear, I don't want to throw him under the bus too hard, because the videos were really good. He got bullseyes for both, but it took me a lot of attempts on the old video camera to get those. There was a lot of mists and, you know, axes kind of going off the board, but if you go on Twitter, he looks like a hero.
Yeah. Sounds like you guys had a blast.
Oh, we did.
We'll talk more about it a little bit later. Let me tell you who we got coming up tonight. Our first night of a few here where we're going to catch up with champions from across Canada. Of course, race season is all over, and a lot of banquets taking place and so on. We're going to catch up with champions tonight. We're going to kick it all off with LP Dumoulin, two-time champion in the NASCAR Pinty Series. He is our national champion, and we're going to have LP on this program. Joe, you spent pretty well every weekend with LP and everybody with Pinties.
Yeah, well, for the first half of the season, we stayed away from one another because he was 1-2 in the points there for a little bit. But and then after he got away from us, we chummed around a little bit more. But just a great bunch, and what a season that LP had. He put up numbers. at every single race that we went to. And you know, he battled through a ton of adversity this season to get to where he was at. You know, I think back through the season, and there's a couple times, you know, where he'd lose a tire at a, you know, unopportune time.
Right.
And have to claw his way back up to the front. And still, at the end of the day, you look up at the board and you're like, how the hell did he get a fourth?
Yeah.
And it just seemed like it was like that all the way through the season. Of course, he had a couple dominating performances where he was up front for the entire race as well. That team turned a massive corner this year and brought a lot of speed to the racetrack. And it'll be good to catch up with LP. I know the party's still probably going on out there in Quebec, and they'll also be getting ready for 2019 in a big way with that 47 car.
Yeah, and they'll be getting ready for Charlotte too, right? Charlotte comes up. I think it's next week for those guys.
Yeah, I believe it is. Yep.
They go down to the NASCAR Hall of Fame and pick up all the goods, so to speak.
Pick up some hardware.
Absolutely. We're going to catch up with the Canadian Vintage Modified Champion as well. Steve Trendle will join us at the bottom of this hour. And then in hour number two, we're going to go off to Canada's West Coast. We haven't spent any time at all talking BC, and we're going to talk Western Speedway. Out in Victoria, we got two champions going to join us tonight. Dave Hemrich is going to join us, and he is the late model champion. And we'll also catch up with Mike Haslam, and he is the sprint car champion from BC. And we'll talk to those guys in hour number two. We'll also get a report from Tracy Hoskins here in hour number one. Snowball Derby. Tracy was there. I want to say she's been at the Snowball Derby like 10 years in a row, but we'll check in with Tracy tonight on that.
Yeah, for sure. Sounds like it was quite the eventful eventful show, so there's definitely lots to talk about. And of course, Noah Gregson went to Victory Lane and lots of great stuff. It was just announced that he made it through the Room of Doom, so he is the official winner of the Snowball Derby. So we'll talk to Tracy all about that and kind of go over what all took place, because it's not just the super late model race that everybody talks about and watches. It's, you know, the Snowflake 100 and as well all the feeder divisions that lead up to it through the week.
Yeah.
And, of course, Mother Nature's, little stint of rain. By the sounds of it, they got like 8 inches of rain in a couple hour span down there. So we'll get caught up on a lot.
Yeah, we sure will. Let's get to the hotline, though, and bring in that two-time champion. We got LP Dumoulin with us, driver of the 47 WeatherTech Belmar Dodge. How you doing tonight, LP? How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Fantastic, my man. Congratulations on championship number two. Great season for you.
It was amazing. What a year. What a job from my team and WeatherTech Belmar car. It was just outstanding, and we have an epic season. You know, it's one thing to win a championship with, you know, another group. And, you know, we had something very special in 2014, you know, and it was amazing. But, you know, the second championship with our own team was just incredible.
LP, 97 starts in the NASCAR Pinty Series. You got two championships, 7 wins. And almost half of those wins came this year in 2018. You took the checkered flag at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. You did it again on the shortest track in the series at EIR out in Edmonton. And then you backed it up with another big checkered flag win at Riverside International Speedway. You were on a drought there for a couple of years, didn't get any checkers. This year you guys turned it on. What was the difference?
Well, I mean, as any team owner would tell you, it's really hard to start your own team and battling against those guys that have been there for, you know, 25 years. Like, you know, you talk about Stickley and Kennington and Jacobs and, you know, a lot of teams that have been there for so long. It's really hard to fight, you know, with those guys. And I'm super proud of my team. You know, the last 2 years, we had a lot of podiums. We had a lot of top five. I mean, I think we got, you know, 47 top five now and podiums and stuff. But the main idea was to build our own wealth of knowledge. You know, it's all about building your own team, and it's not that easy. You got to find the right people. You have to find the right equipment, and That's what we've done the past 2 years, and that's why we we've been fighting for the top three in the championship. We've been on the podium a lot, but the winning wasn't there. But the past winter, my guys really took the cars apart and really worked super hard to make it perfect. And then when we showed up at the beginning of this season, we knew we had a really good package. And that's what I'm super proud of. I mean, it's all about those guys. I mean, guys and girls that's on that team that's been there forever and that's been working super hard. And we took, you know, all the experience we could from guys like Mario Gosselin and then McCall and then, you know, all the people that's been working with us, Billy Burns in the past. And then this season, my crew chief, Robin, and then Ben's been working really hard to give me good cars and reliable cars. That's the other thing. You got to be reliable. If it's not your day, you still have to finish in top five. You know, you still have to finish good. So we got there at the beginning of the season. Yes, we did good at that Moss Sport, but we did win on the oval afterwards. And then that's what's super important in that series. And it's, again, super competitive. It's so hard to win in this series. The drivers are crazy hard, you know, like hard workers, and as well as the teams are super super good. And then to me, that trophy means a lot. Like, means a ton.
LP, obviously, you know, I watched every single one of those races and watched you, you know, go through adversity. You had great cars, and I also watched you go through a couple times where you had inopportune situations pop up, and it seemed like you guys rose to the occasion every single time. When anything would go wrong, it seemed like you guys would bounce back and at the end of the day end up in the top five or you know, just outside the top five, even with catastrophic stuff happening. Was there a time in the season this year where you guys felt like you turned a major corner? Because it seemed like in the middle of the season, you guys really came to life on the speed chart and as well, you know, kind of in the finishing position side.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, sometimes we had hard, you know, we had hard to race and then, you know, flat tires and then this and that. But all in all, we, as you said, we ended up, you know, trying to make a bad day a good day, you know, like in the, or a decent day. And then there's a moment in the season that we kind of felt like, wow, this car is really good. Like, my oval car really stood up in Chaudière. And then that's what we led a lot of laps. And then we were like, okay, this is a really good piece. And we showed up afterwards on the West. And on the West Coast, and we had that flat tire, but we were running right up front. And again, it's just like we were there. We knew we had a car to fight for the win every weekend. It's not like you're going to get the win. Even if you have a good car and you think you have the car to win, all those drivers and all those other teams, they have very good material, and they're really, really good drivers. So it doesn't make it easy on you, but that's pretty much around like the West Coast, like the Western trip really made me feel like, wow, okay, we're on a really good run right now. And we just kept working super hard to just keep the car from reliable, keep our head in the game, one race at a time. And we've signed that, you know, 3-year deal with WeatherTech at Toronto Weekend. And that again, it just makes you feel like you're in the right spot at the right moment, and I was super proud of my guys.
We're with LP Dumoulin tonight. He is our national champion here in Canada in the NASCAR Pinty Series. It's his second championship that he's gone out and did. And this year, 2018, he comes away with the big enchilada with the 47 WeatherTech Dodge. And LP, your brother, let's talk about JF. He was also in there this year competitively. Man, you guys have even got him rolling now. Will it be the same in 2019? Is it going to be a two-car team again?
It will be another two-car team. I don't know how many races JF is going to be doing, but JF's got that deal going, you know, with the Europe, and then, you know, his sponsorship with Petro Premium is it's on, you know, it's awesome. And then they want to do some stuff outside of the country because their business is out there too. So JF will be on board, and as you've seen him during this season, he's a great driver. He wants to win. He wants to get those podium going on his side, and again, to have him in my backyard, to have one of the best drivers out there, always, you know, beside me and fighting hard, and then, you know, working the setup with me is a big asset to the Dumoulin competition team. So for 2019 season, we want him to be you know, full time with us. We'll work really hard at it, and I'm super proud of him. You know, like, he's a two-time Daytona 24-hour race champion, and as well as the two-time Grand Am champion in an endurance series. So JF is the kind of guy that's going to race hard, but as well as he's really good in a long run. So it's great to have him on board.
Absolutely. And looking back at races like Toronto and even Trois-Rivières, he was lights out fast. There was a couple opportunities where if he would have got the right track position at the right time, he would have been gone. There wouldn't have been no catching him.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. He's always in my way. I got to be careful. He's really fast.
Absolutely. LP, looking back, obviously, you know, we're going to be talking to just champions for the next couple weeks here on RTR, and a question that I always love getting the answer to is throughout the season, looking back on it, what is a highlight other than winning the championship, obviously, and obviously you're going to say winning a race, but what was a highlight that was outside of taking the checkered flag for you personally or on the track?
Well, to be honest with you, that championship is all teamwork, and team is a big family, and family is a big team. You know, like it, for me, like, my wife was pregnant the whole season, and we had a great time, you know, going through it. And I really wanted my wife to be there with my son and having my family close to me. And he came to all the races, you know, from out west to, you know, he traveled a lot with me, as well as having the guys on board, like a guy like Robin and Ben that's been there forever, that didn't win a championship before, and then for them it's huge, and I feel for that. You know, I feel for those guys that been working super hard every year for all those years, and then at one point they get the big trophy. It means a ton for me, and I'm super happy about it. And as well as you know, like it's a big championship. It's long. It takes forever. We started leading that championship before Trois-Rivières Grand Prix. So, like, on the Western trip, we started leading the championship again. And that's from there, you have the eye light on you. Everybody's talking about, and I'm totally fine with that. I'm super happy with it, you know. But at one point, race by race, everybody's like, oh, you're the leader. You're the leader. The leader. But at one point, you have to stand up and take the heat and then, you know, deal with it. And that's something that at the end of the championship, when we got the big trophy, it was like, whew, big relief. it was a big relief, because it took a while before we got the big one, and then it's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of, you know, talking. It's the talking around it. You know, it's always like, okay, are you going to win it? Are you not going to win it? But you got to show up every weekend. And that's what I told my guys on the team. You guys got to be focused on the task, focused on the job, and the next race is just another race. It's just the same thing as that we do every weekend. Even if the people talk a lot around you, you got to keep on focusing on what we need to get done. And that's what we did, and that's why we made it happen, and that's what we're going to be doing next season as well.
Fantastic. The chase for 2019 has already begun by the sounds of it in that 47 shop.
Oh, hell yeah. And then thank you to WeatherTech and Benmar. My sponsor has been there forever, and there's nothing like it. It means the world for me.
Well, you've been a champion once before. You've been to Charlotte, the NASCAR Hall of Fame. You know what to expect. What are you expecting now to go down there, what, in another week? And you're going to be claiming the championship, and with everybody around you, it's going to be a party in Charlotte, I can bet.
Yeah, well, there's one thing we can do is, we can be very serious and we can work really hard, but we can party as well. So we'll take care of that next week. That's for sure. My family's coming with me, and the kids and the whole team, everybody that can be there will be there. And we just can't wait to be in Charlotte, in the Hall of Fame, and my car's going to be there. And it's huge. You know, you got your name out there on the wall, and it's going to stay there forever. again, that means so much for all the hard work that's been done around this team.
I've heard about these Dumoulin parties. I've heard about it. I've heard about it enough. We stay at different hotels every single time. We need to get together, and the DJK team and the Dumoulin team need to figure out where you guys stay, because I hear about the Dumoulin parties, you know, after the big wins and stuff like that, but I've never witnessed it. I don't even think you guys party. I think you guys just go back to the shop and work.
Yeah. Yeah, there's one thing we know is, my dad always told me, you got to work hard and then you can play hard, but you got to work hard. So we work hard and then we can have some fun. And then we have a good reason this season to have some fun this week.
Absolutely. Well, you're a dynamite champion, LP. Congratulations on the championship to you and all your team. It combined effort, as mentioned, and to you and the family, congratulations. Party hard at Charlotte. They're going to know the guys from Quebec are there, and we wish you all the best for the holidays as well, because we're getting close to that.
Oh, that's for sure. Cheers, y'all, and thanks to the fans. We just can't wait for the next season.
Absolutely. That's LP Dumoulin, the 2018 NASCAR Pinty Series champion. Dynamite guy. He's a great champion, Junior.
He is, for sure. And such a great ambassador for the series, really. You know, when you look at it, the competition this year was off the charts. We say it all the time. You know, the competition in all these different series are incredible. But when you look at the list of competitors and really the list of winners, there's only a couple that jump off multiple times. And there's a whole lot of single-time winners. It's because when you would get to the racetrack, there was 14 cars that were within, you know, like 3/10 of a second.
Yeah.
When they unloaded, when they drop the cars off the back of the truck and go through tech and roll out for practice, there's 15, 14 cars every single time within 3/10 of a second. And there's not many fields that can say that exact same thing. And you know, the performance that they put on, he was a deserving champion. There's no question about that. They were lights out strong. They built good race cars, and that Mopar 47 car was fast. And to see WeatherTech step up for 3 years.
Yeah, that's saying a lot.
We're still talking about it today, mm-hmm. You know, because you don't see that in motorsports very often. And you're seeing a lot of deals like that here in Canada. You know, when you look at the Castro relationship with DJK, when you look at that relationship, stability with WeatherTech and LP, really the same thing goes for Spectre Premium and his brother JF. And then as well, you know, you look at guys like Gary Elliott with Quaker State.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of really big success stories of sponsors attaching themselves to drivers. And I hope that's a trend to continue to grow. And it's really healthy to see a brand like WeatherTech do that for a guy like LP.
You know, I was on another show that's on Canada Talks, and it's Canada Now. And I was on with Jeff just the other day talking about this comeback show that we're on tonight. And he asked me a question about NASCAR. He said, look, there's no doubt there's declining numbers. NASCAR is supposedly up for sale. What were my thoughts on it? You know, and I had to agree with them. Sure, there's a downturn, if you will.
Yeah.
On the southern side of the border, but I can tell you here in Canada, our NASCAR series and our racing in general, I believe, is on an upswing. And we are looking really good for 2019 on a pile of different fronts. And a lot of that is attributed to the teams being, you know, doing what they do. And being professional and going after it and having those big sponsors back them up and having multiple year deals. That's critical.
Well, and the value is there, even though it's declining. And this is something that is industry wide, but it's not just motorsports, it's marketing in general. Find me a national sporting league in general that's not declining right now.
Yeah.
In general.
In numbers.
In numbers and dramatically. And you know, NASCAR puts out their numbers of you know, comparing to NFL, just like NFL probably compares to NASCAR internally. You know, and NHL would loop in there, NBA, all of those. There is not a professional sporting outlet that is not declining in attendance numbers. the place where they are inclining and growing rapidly is the digital space and how you can utilize the content that you generate through professional sports. So when you look at it, and where is the marketing dollars coming from today in the global economy, it's digital.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah,
and when you look at what you can do with a picture, a video, or something to do with a race car or driver, there's a million different ways that you can sell your products using that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not going to die. It's going to decline. And then it's going to find its sweet spot. And it could incline from there or it could decline some more. It's not going to die just simply because there's less people at the grandstands.
No. And I did... say in that interview that NASCAR's got a lot of smart people involved in it.
100%.
Yeah, they're on a little bit of a turndown right now, but watch out. They're going to bounce back. And when they do, you're going to hear
When you make an investment, where do you make an investment? Do you buy high or do you buy low?
Yeah, buy low.
Buy low, sell high. Yeah. There we go. So when you look at the declining numbers, it's not a bad thing. It used to cost $30 million to activate your brand for a full season in the Cup Series. Now you can do it feasibly with a winning driver for $5 to $6
million. Yeah.
And that $5 to $6 million is... now trackable, where back in the day when you bought it for 30, all they did was slap stickers on a race car and go try to win.
Right.
There's a whole different ball game, and they've had to get smarter for that.
Yeah.
And it's the exact same thought process all the way down to your local Saturday night guy.
Well, things are changing, and the changes are going to be kind of cool out the other end. I can guarantee it. We're going to hit a break. When we come back, another champion. This time, the Canadian Vintage Modified Champion. We have Steve Trendle, driver of the 57, going to join us on the other side. Don't you go anywhere. Junior and I just getting started.
Bonjour, ici Andrew Ranger, coureur de la voiture 27. Vous écoutez Race Time Radio. I'm Andrew Ranger. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
Coast to coast. You're listening to Canada Talks.
Alexa, play NASCAR radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win!
It's unfiltered 24-7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR radio, channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Rebellion became the foundation of the first generation of classic rock. Classic Vinyl, Channel 26.
On Channel 25, Classic Rewind brings you the second generation.
Let the good times roll.
Classic Rock.
From the vinyl
to cassette era.
Hear it.
Commercial free.
On Sirius XM.
Race Time Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
I'm Amber Mack.
I'm Michael B.
Every week on the feed, we're going to talk about what's new now and next in the world of technology and social media.
Whether you want to know how to keep yourself safe online or get startup tips from today's hottest tech entrepreneurs, we've got you covered.
We'll also invite a team of experts from around the world to join us, the hottest social media stars on the internet.
The feed is your show for nonstop tech talk about what's new now and next.
Weekends on Canada Talks.
Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
It's Race Time Radio.
Welcome back, everybody.
Hey, you two. Get your asses in here.
There Where's the old guys?
You made the breaks. How do you not know where that is?
Well, I forgot.
You started talking. You interrupted Grumpier Old Men.
I made that up last week. So, you know,
There's a couple things going on up there.
Well, there is. There is. There was a pile going on this weekend. But welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. Susie Q's working away at getting Steve Trendle on the hotline. We got to get Steve. You see, he's going to work tonight. And we got to get him now before he gets into work, because otherwise we'd be scooped and we wouldn't have the number 57 Canadian Vintage Modified on with us.
Absolutely.
If we were much later. So we're going to score him, and then Tracy Hoskins is going to join us. She was at the Snowball Derby, and we'll get a live report from Derby Central.
All right. We got to talk about it.
Okay.
Noah Gregson goes in for a kiss.
Ha-ha. Seen it.
And it's funny. To me, I find it funny.
So
50% of the people on Twitter, I'm not going to say 50%. A lot of people on Twitter are calling it gross, and they're saying all this bad stuff about it.
Really?
And then there's a lot of people saying that it's really funny. Which
he's kidding around.
That's exactly where I'm at with it.
You got to know Noah Gregson, man.
You know when you look at it wasn't a grotesque thing to do at all.
No.
And I side with it. I, as a media person, I think it's funny. It's playful. It wasn't a bad thing.
No,
but
you gotta know Noah Gregson.
I agree with that. I agree with that. And you know, it's funny that she turned away. I it's just funny. It's not like he.
Here you go. If you want to the people that were offended by it,
yeah.
I guess what they would probably be in favor of is to not have. The trophy girl, if you will, in Victory Lane, because you know what, if you go by history, if you look back in the history books, that's what they used to do. They used to kiss the winner. They used to.
At numerous amounts of races.
I've never seen the Monster Energy girls do it, and I can't remember seeing the Sprint girls do it either.
Or the Coors girls, or really even, but the Winston girls back in the day.
Oh, yeah, they go back in the day, and that was a common occurrence.
To be honest with you, it's not even about it being funny or not. I just don't think that it was malicious at all.
No, but if you look at the
video.
And
I don't think she did either. She smiled. She laughed.
If you look at the video, it is kind of funny.
That's where I'm at. Call us and fight me because I'm bored. Yeah. I'm just saying. I don't think that it was a malicious thing.
No,
at all.
I don't think it was.
So we're gonna switch gears a little bit.
Yeah.
And something that was funny that didn't offend anybody.
Yeah.
Was Scott Blomquist and Rico Abreu coming out of driver intros with Rico Abreu on the shoulders of Scott Blomquist.
Yeah.
That was the funniest thing and the best thing and the most lighthearted thing that you could possibly do at a racetrack.
Yeah.
Man, Rico Abreu doesn't get enough credit for how charismatic he is.
Yeah.
The guy is such a stand-up racer.
He is.
And he has got so much personality. He always had a smile on his face in the truck series, always does in the dirt side, can drive the wheels off of anything. And funny, you know, whenever he's interviewed, just a very personable person. And I got to give a hats off and an attaboy to both of them.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. And you know, way to make fans.
That's the way to do it. We have Steve Trendle on the hotline now. Steve-o, what's going on, buddy? We got you.
How much? How are you, gentlemen?
Doing good. Now, congratulations on the championship. I know we were going to get you on like 10 weeks ago when you did it, but we got interrupted, but we got you tonight.
No, thanks. Thanks for having me on. I'm glad you're all healed up and you're on the right track.
Absolutely, Steve. Thanks so much for that. Let's look back in the season here a little bit, bud. We had you on at the beginning of the year, all revved up, raring to go for another brand new season. You had the car all ready, and you go out night number one, and you grenade the thing, and we thought we were going to lose you for the season.
Yeah, we thought so, too. Unfortunately, we spent all our sponsorship money in the off season doing upgrades to the car, and paid off in the first feature, and then we spun four bearings in the motor in the second feature. It's the motor had 9 years on it, so it gave us more than what it should have, and we were making plans to bridge us into another car just to get us through to our month off we had, and luckily Darren Dryden, dad John Dryden, he stepped up and he purchased us the motor so that we could continue on and try and chase down our first championship.
Well, and look at that. The plan worked out. I thought there was somebody that would have jumped in there and helped you out, because I can well imagine, Steve, that car that you've got prepared is pristine every time it hits the racetrack. It looks beautiful. It goes like a bullet. And not normally do you get those two things to happen at the same time, and you definitely don't do it without putting everything you got into that race car. And I know you guys had everything in. You guys were all in right off the first green flag.
Yeah, that's my dad's baby, and I'm fortunate that he lets me drive it. Over the course of my 16 years, man, I've torn up a lot of equipment, and if I were him, I would have fired me 14 years ago.
So now, do you reload and go after it again in 19?
Yeah, my dad texted me last week and said that he drained the water out, put antifreeze in the motor, and put the car cover on it. And I don't think he's touching a thing over the winter. But yeah, we'll be back in 2019. Our schedule is going to be quite a bit different. The way it looks right now, we're going to be a Flamborough only division. Like you guys were talking earlier, car counts are hurting all over Canada right now, so we're trying to go with a home track, try to build up our division, and then maybe hopefully next in 2020 we can venture back out onto the road and have a solid 15 or 16 cars at each race.
Steve, a question and kind of a conversation that, you know, I've heard in passing a couple of times, and really it's kind of, you know, pertinent to your division. But your cars are based off of very old cars, right? And the chassis, the roof line, the body panels, some of the body panels, and even some of the parts underneath for mounting are off of very old cars, right? And do you see a day, or do you see it being an issue finding parts? Is that what is holding people from getting into cars, or do you see it as a benefit to go to a fiberglass style of old car? Would you see that being something that would help the series, or do you feel that it's not that, it's something else?
Eventually, if people want to start building cars, like, we have our rule where it's an original steel pre-1948 roof section.
Gotcha.
Well, heck, in 2019, it's getting hard to find those things, right?
Absolutely.
Guys have them, but they're in such terrible shape that you can't do anything with them. I can see a day eventually where we're going to have to look at letting fiberglass mold come in, and we'll have to work around it, but in all honesty, most of the cars are pretty modern. Like, I think there's only a couple cars that still run the I-beam axle. Now we're all tube axle. Like, we don't run crappy shocks. Everybody runs pretty good shocks now. And it just comes down to your driver, right? Driver and setup. That's what it comes down to. I'm not picky. I just tell my dad, make it go fast down the straightaway. I'll figure it out when I come to the corner.
Absolutely.
And you'll hang on, right?
When you look at a vintage modified, now I want to paint a picture. Obviously, you can go to racetimeradio.com because the picture of your car is on there for any of the listeners that are listening in. But, you know, they're a beautiful machine. They're absolutely gorgeous. But they remind me, and they always have and they always will, of a Legends car. You know, they look like a Legends car, just big, and really that's what the Legends were designed off of, right? Is those, that style of race car. Really, I could see the day where the body style, because really underneath they're a race car, and from everything that I've seen, you know, I've only turned wrenches on a couple of them, and I'm not by any stretch a knowledgeable guy of what's underneath them. But really underneath the skin, they are a race car. So I could see the value of, you know, it being similar to a Legends car where you got a lot more spec to it. But, I just, and I'm not saying anything negative about the series. Oh. I just wanted to get your opinion on the air of that because it's pertinent to the conversation that we're having.
Yeah. Like everybody, you know, the inline sixes for a while there. There were some drivers that were revving below. That's pretty much what they called the inline sixes. But with us allowing in the crate cars, like the crate engines, that's brought four or five cars back out that would have never raced.
Absolutely.
Right? You spend $4,500, you drop it in. 6-7 years later, you go out, you spend another $4,500, you got yourself another motor.
Yep.
That's essentially what kept us going, because an inline motor, you can spend upwards of $10,000 getting it built, and you got to watch how many revs, like your RPM, you got to watch your lap count. Like, I used to hate when we go to tracks, my dad would limit me to one practice session because he was scared, honestly, at the end of the year, how many laps we were going to have on it and whether it was going to hold together. Now we go to Flamborough on a Tuesday to practice and go out and do 60, 70 laps. It doesn't matter, right? It's just that comfort feeling that, you know, you got a essentially a bulletproof motor. You don't have to worry about anything. Like tires, I think we used 6 tires this year, and we had 8 races with twin features, so that's 16 feature events. We used 6 tires. Like, we always get that persona that it's a an expensive class, but honestly, it's an entry level class. It's very affordable. It's great racing. Like, I watch kind of the Oscar modifieds, and everybody knows the guys that they just pretty much pile it into the corner, move you up the hill, and go by you. We race wheel to wheel. We have no issues, and I wouldn't want to race anything else. I enjoyed my 16 years in the club, and heck, I want to stick around for another 20 years and help build it up to where we have not 24, 25 cars, but get back to 18, 19 cars a race just for the fans, right? That's what they deserve.
100%. Looking back on you know, yesteryear, when the modified, I remember the Canadian Vintage Modifieds roll into the beach and you guys would have 25 cars. And, yep. And you know, you'd put on a great race, and some would joke that it's the hobby hour because there were so many cars out on the racetrack that you guys couldn't complete a lap. You know, it was like that. But when you look in today's landscape, and I want to give an honest opinion on my side, diversification is a massive problem in the industry. And when you look at in just Ontario here, you used to have one vintage class. Right, you used to have one vintage class, then you'd have a street stock division, and that was, you know, a street stock was an 86 Monte Carlo or before that, completely different type of racing. Now you've got the Oscar Hot Rods, where you can be creative and you can have an outlaw style, you know, Impala or Chevelle or anything like that.
Cool, great class.
Cool, and I'm not saying anything negative. What I'm saying is you know, you can. A lot of guys are jumping to that for the creativity side, and the cool factor, number one. And then as well, you've got the Legends class. So you've got three classes that are here in Ontario that you know, you can have those creative juices that you used to have the guys have in the Vintage Modifieds alone. And when you look at the landscape here in Ontario, just I think that is an issue that you're constantly going to be battling. And I think you see the same thing in late model. I think you see the same thing in super late model. And it goes down the line because of diversification.
Yeah. And like, as I always look at it, too, with car counts all across all the divisions, like, it's not the 1990s anymore where you would just load the whole family up and you'd go racing. Guys are getting younger. They're having children younger. Like, the wives necessarily don't like racing. I got lucky where mine gets mad if we don't go to the races, or if she has to work, she gets mad that she's got to miss a race. But the landscape's changed, right? It's just families have changed, priorities are different. Like, I remember when you guys used to do the Wednesday night dash, and we'd come up to Sauble on a Wednesday and we'd spend a week there. Like, that's what our family did. Like, we would wake up on a Saturday morning, I'd go go-kart racing. We go to Barrie with my dad's TQ Saturday night, and we would drive all the way to mid-Ohio, or we'd go to Michigan Sunday so that my dad could race his go-kart. That's how I was brought up. Would I love to race 40 times a summer? Oh, yeah, but heck, this year with 8 races, I got to go do more things, got to go camping, got to go racing, and I enjoy it, right? But
right.
I just think the market's so oversaturated with different tracks, different rules. So if you got a Sunset mini stock, you can't go run Slambro because they're on a different tire. They have different rules. Like, if these tracks could just harmonize their rules, then we could get back to where you got 30 mini stocks at a race, right? They're just Thunder car rules are so different, and everybody complains about payout. They don't get paid enough. Well, if you don't have cars on the track, you're not going to get paid.
That's right.
100%.
That's my big thing. That's what I told everybody at the meeting, that, like, our last meeting. Everybody wants to get paid. But when we're rolling in with 11 cars, why is a guy like Mark Dilley at Sauber going to give us a raise on our purse?
Yep.
He's not going to, because the product's not there.
That's right. That's right. For everybody to be successful, your local racetrack has to be, right?
Yep.
It has to be. That's just the way it is. But you know what? If you're going to race next year, you're going to have to work tonight. And I know you're up alongside that chip, buddy. You got to get in there.
Yeah, it's just, gosh, I don't know why it took me 16 years to finally win a championship. Been a long road since 2002, but when I got out of, we entered the last night of the race at one point behind TJ Marshall. First feature, he was second, I was third, and I said I was convinced I was going to finish third, and he made a move onto the apron that didn't stick on the last lap, and I threw it to the outside with all I had and made it stick, and I passed him in the last corner to tie the points up going into the last feature, and luckily I was able to pull it out and beat him in the second feature, and won the points by 1 point this year. And
wow.
just getting out of the car, and the first person there was my dad, right? He's probably spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in my career keeping me going, and there's no way I could ever pay him back. And to finally get him a championship and see the smile on his face, that makes it all worth it.
Absolutely. That's a cool story, Steve. Yeah. Sponsors on that race car, give me a hit, buddy.
I honestly got to thank Paul Law from Midas Orangeville. He stepped up the last couple years, and we're hoping he can come back in 2018. I got to thank John Dryden from Dryden Auto Body for stepping up to the plate, buying us a motor. John Van Wingarden from Flambro Machine Shop. Whatever we need custom built for our car, we just drop it off, pick it up the next day. He builds whatever we need. QA1 shocks, Wix filters, my dad, he pays everything on the car. Like, people joke that I don't do anything, but honestly, I don't. I show up on Saturday to the track, unload the car, I push it back in at the end of the night, and I don't see it till the next race. He does everything on it, and without him, I quit racing. There's no way I could do it without him.
Look at that. And a championship team. So cool.
Yeah.
Good deal. Steve, good luck in it. Have you guys had your banquet yet? Have you got the trophy?
We have the trophy. My dad probably got it sitting on the hood of the car, taking pictures of it and sending it to me every chance that he gets.
Good deal.
But no, our banquet's January 19th, so I'm looking forward to celebrating, and hopefully we'll see you guys around in between that time.
Absolutely. We look forward to it. Thanks so much for the time tonight, brother.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You bet. Steve Trendle, the Canadian Vintage Modified Champion. Too cool. We're going to hit this break. When we come back, Tracy Hoskins is going to join us. We'll talk Snowball Derby to the top of the hour. Stay right there.
Hi, this is David Pearson, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks. To Canada Talks.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, Doug, I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce.
But I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports. And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
It's the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
What can I do for you?
My name is Elizabeth Cook. I have a show called Apron Strings over in Outlaw Country.
Okay.
Playing a lot of old outlaw country music, cool. A lot of new outlaw country music. Cool. We talk about all kinds of important things, like how to get gum out of the pillowcase.
Shoot, I don't know.
Where do Venus flytraps come from? Do you need a chakra cleanse?
A what?
This is your formal invitation to listen to me, Elizabeth Cook, 10 to 2 p.m. weekdays on Outlaw Country. It's Channel 60 and streaming on the new and improved SiriusXM app.
Alexa, play NASCAR radio on SiriusXM.
SiriusXM NASCAR radio from SiriusXM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win.
Oh. It's unfiltered 24-7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is SiriusXM NASCAR radio, channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you closer.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Racetime Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
Morning, dickhead.
Hello, moron.
I didn't interrupt them that time, did I?
No, you didn't. You knew it was coming.
I let them go ahead.
You knew it was coming.
I sure did. Let's talk Snowball Derby, shall we? We've got Tracy Hoskins on the hotline. She was at the Derby again this year and probably still hanging around there somewhere. What's going on, Tracy? How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys?
Fantastic. How many years has this been now you've been at the Derby?
Five or six now, at least.
At least, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Man, take us through this one, Tracy. Sounds like it was quite a day.
It has been a whirlwind weekend. I mean, I flew in on Tuesday, so I've been here since Tuesday. But the weather has gotten the best of us. It was like a monsoon here yesterday. The whole pit area was flooded in 3 and 4, and they've been working all night long to try and get all the water out of here. Even before race time, when they did last chance qualifying for the Derby today, just track officials just working to try and get the water that was seeping out of the front stretch wall here. It was just seeping down. There's just so much water here. But they were able to get it done, and today was a great day. It was sunny and like 75 degrees, and it was a great day today.
Yeah, you gotta love it. Trevor Lamb also down there. Trev sent me a video actually of him driving through that monsoon. sent me a picture. I believe it was turn 1 and 2 at the speedway, and it looked like Lake Lloyd as opposed to Pensacola, Florida. Of water, lots and lots of it.
Mm-hmm. Good. Very much so. I mean, the pits right here are just nothing but mud. But we had great racing today, so. That was the plus of it all. It was a good day today.
Good stuff. Now, we had some Canadian content in this, baby. Started on the outside pole. 53, Cole Butcher was looking good early. What happened to the 53?
To be honest, I'm not real sure. He started, he was strong and was strong for the first, 75 laps or so, and then started to fade back and, went down a lap and got his lucky dog and came back. He finished ninth tonight, so he came back with a strong finish, but just the struggle. And I mean, to be honest, there was no real standout this weekend when it came to drivers and qualifying. And it was up in the air when you talk to drivers and teams about who was actually going to get the pole for this one, because just the tires were different, the track was green, you just didn't know. There was no real standout at the beginning of the weekend, so it's kind of like a free-for-all today.
Now you were kind of embedded, if you will, with Augie Grill. How did Augie make out?
Well, unfortunately, he's been struggling with this super late model all season long, including this weekend, and he went into the last chance today and unfortunately didn't make the race. He pulled off about 15 laps in. Just the car was just not great, and the rear end is just not great in the car. So, I mean, he pulled off. I don't know if that was good fortune, because after that there was quite a few wrecks which collected some of the other Canadian drivers that were, trying to get in the field. But they didn't do well, but he wasn't the only past champion not to get in the race. Stephen Wallace did not make the show. he was set to go out in Washington's qualifier today, but unfortunately he had transmission issues again with his stuff and didn't take the green flag to the Washington's qualifier either.
Yeah, tough deal, right? It just the caliber of guys that weren't in the race just shocks me. It speaks to the competition of the Snowball Derby. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just
very
amazing.
Much so.
Really, you can miss it by just, you know, you're talking a tenth of a second, and
yes,
you can sit on the trailer and roll it home.
How about the Snowflake 100? How did it go, or did it go?
So it did not go. So yesterday, we got rained out on Friday night, so the Modified Mayhem were supposed to race their championship feature on Friday night, their 75-lap race. Unfortunately, the rain came in after they qualified, and we weren't able to get it in. So they were moved to Saturday's schedule, including the Pro Trucks and the Snowflakes, but unfortunately yesterday everything was canceled. So we're actually coming back down to Five Flags next Saturday to run yesterday's event.
Oh, you got to love that. Fans get another kick at the can, so to speak.
Yes, and I mean, I luck out because I had already planned to stay around for an extra week or so. So, I mean, I don't have to fly home and fly back down. I get to just hang around and come back.
You get a double dip at Pensacola. That's not fair at all.
Yes,
as long as the weather sticks around, Tracy, you're going to be, it's going to look like a brilliant call. Any word if speed51.com will have the Snowflake 100 coverage, or are they done?
Yes. Yep. No, so they're going to cover everything for next Saturday. They're just working with Tim Bryant here about a schedule, and they'll release that soon. But all the people who paid for the pay-per-view for the modified race and for Saturday's schedule, we'll get to see that live on Speed51 next weekend.
Yeah, gotta love it. Because that's really part of the show, too, right? It's always a great race, that Snowflake 100.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. I mean, I know that there's a couple teams that have already said that they can't make the trip down. Once they go home, they're going home. They're not going to come back down. But there's going to be a lot of cars here still. A lot of cars are going to return.
So Noah Gregson wins the race. He was back, I don't know whether it was Frank Kimmel's the Twitter I was looking at, but he kind of alluded to, at least I think it could have been Corey LaJoyce too, because I follow them both, but I seen somewhere Noah's in the catbird seat. So there must have been a late caution and the 18 car sitting in the right spot.
Yes, so there was a late caution. About 25 laps to go or so, a caution came out. And then those all leaders, so there was 12 cars in the lead lap at that point. Everybody except for Harrison Burton had come down pit road to put fresh tires on. Harrison, unfortunately for him, had come down previously and put his last set of tires on, so he had no more tires to put on, regardless of had he pitted.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, that led to him being a sitting duck because he did have the fastest car here today, and in my opinion, he would have been the one to win the race. He was the fastest and has been the fastest all day. But all those guys came in, and then there was on the restart, you know, he chose the outside, unfortunately, and kind of sitting duck. Everybody kind of ran over, and Bubbles Pollard actually spun in one and two there, got spun, bringing out the caution again. So they restarted with about five to go, and Noah had the inside, and he was gone.
Incredible. Tracy, this has been great with the live report from there. We really appreciate it. You enjoy yourself this week.
Thank you guys so much for having me on. It's great. And I mean, this race down here, my goodness, I mean, everybody talks about Speed Weeks in New Smyrna. That is a great event put on every year, you know, those races. But if you ever have a chance to come down here for the Derby for the 4 days that it's put on, it is unreal. The caliber of drivers, the cars that are down here, it's just amazing, and I can't say enough words to describe just how great it is. It's great racing in general, and it's, you know, Pensacola is a beautiful place.
You bet.
So if anybody's listening who, you know, wants to come race, definitely this is one of the races to see.
Perfect.
Is one to check off the bucket list.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Trace. We got to run and hit
we got to hit the
news. So thanks so much.
All right. Thank you so much. Enjoy, guys.
You bet. That is Tracy Hoskins. We got to hit it. Throw it back to Toronto. Here's the news package.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's blowing the race leader off, too!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
With the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, look at that. Hour two begins tonight here on Race Time Radio. Got to thank you all so much for tuning in live on Sirius XM channel 167. My timing was a little bit off on the news package, but that's
the first show back.
I know.
When you come back from a vacation, you drag a little bit, no matter what job you do.
Well, yeah,
it's not like you're on vacation, but
gotta blow the rust off.
That's like, right.
Like quite a bit of rust.
That's right.
We're getting it. Here's who we got coming up in hour number two, and we got a stellar lineup for you here. In hour number two, we're going to go off to Canada's West Coast, Western Speedway, out in Victoria, B.C. We've got a couple champions going to join us. The first one that is going to join us is Dave, the late model champion, Dave Hemmerich, is going to join us first. And then we're going to hear from Mike Haskellum. And Mike is going to join us, and he is a sprint car champion. That's out there at Western Speedway. And we got both those guys coming up in hour two. And we're going to have a little bit of time, Junior, at the end of the show to open the phone lines and hear from the listeners.
Absolutely.
If anybody wants to call in, we'll have a little bit of time at the end of the show where we can do that.
That's
so
perfect.
I look forward to that as well.
I got to give a shameless plug here because I yesterday was at the Christmas party, of course, and today woke up this morning, went over to WMI, went over to White Motorsports.
Yes.
Dave White has built one of the nicest race shops in Canada. Guaranteed.
Really?
And you know, it's amazing to see the growth from WMI and what they've got going on over there. He's got some really cool news coming down the pipeline. Obviously announced last week or the week before that WMI is hooking up with CBRT with Joey McComb and that gang. There's some really cool news coming down the pipeline with that. But the main thing is if you're in the London area, you have to go take a look at WMI because what they've put together over there and what they are, you know, kind of growing together with DJK Racing and all the different things that WMI is going to be doing. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with here in all forms of racing, not just in the Pinty series. They're getting ready to be, you know, building some modifieds and some late models, and they've got a bunch of different things on the docket, and they're building spaceships. I can tell you that.
I can tell you from being at Eastbound's banquet just last night out there in Newfoundland, there was some race teams talking about Whitey out there.
Yes.
Contacting them to, I don't know, set up or cars or whatever. But
absolutely,
there was talk about White Motorsports all the way out there in Newfoundland. So
yeah, for sure.
Definitely making some waves in this sport.
Yeah, most definitely. And really, it's not a plug. It's not an advertisement.
No,
the biggest thing is that I'm just really impressed to see, you know, there's a new dog on the block. And that's something that's really cool. Of course, he's a friend of ours, and he's definitely a friend of mine. But it's really cool to see the progression and to kind of see the vision coming together.
Well, competition's good, right?
Absolutely.
Like, you got to
love
it.
You need it.
There's competition in race cars.
Yep.
Why not with building those cars?
Yes, for sure.
And the cool part about Whitey is he's not honing in on one specific class.
No.
He has got that spectrum wide open.
Yep.
Where, you know, if you're going to drive a four-cylinder and you want him to build the roll cage, he can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do it safe and do it right.
I don't know where he's going to find the time.
Exactly. Well, he's got some really high quality welders that are on the payroll down there. So it's definitely it's coming together though, and I just follow along with it because I think that everybody would be happily surprised with what they see.
That's cool. Junior, sure. Let's go off now to Canada's West Coast. Let's bring in our first champion from Western Speedway. We got Dave Hemrich with us. Dave, am I saying your name right?
Yeah, Dave Hemrich.
There you go.
Hemrich.
Okay, I was Hemrich. I had an H on the end of that baby, but I digress. Dave, congratulations on the late model championship at Western Speedway out in Victoria. Take us through the season, man. We've never had you on the program. It's, first of all, great to meet you.
Great to be on the show. It was a pretty consistent season, and, it's always fun to go over there. They're great people over there, and they treat you really well. And the racing's always tough. just been fighting the car all year and, finishing, like, second, third, fourth, and never good enough to get a win until the last race, when that's how I had to clinch the championship, was to win the race. Or if I finished second place guy, would have won. He would have won the championship.
No
so
kidding.
It was pretty tight.
Yeah, I would say so. Consistency did pay off, right?
It did.
Yeah, pretty amazing stuff. Going around that racetrack, I've never seen Western Speedway other than in photos, and you can never tell what a racetrack's all about by looking at a picture of it. Take us for a lap around that joint. Is it a fast, short track?
It's pretty flat, and it's actually pretty tough to drive. When you go across the start finish line, you barely pass it before you have to brake and enter the corner. And at night in the dark, if you're never at that track, if you really never race there much, that corner is invisible, and you can actually kind of disappear and drive through the grass or go up high. So it's pretty tough in that turn one. And when you come out of turn two, you have lots of room. You could just drift up on the back straight. And you're coming into three, it's very flat through three, very hard to get the car to turn. And it's really, really tight and late pivot to come out onto four. And yeah, it's a tough track to drive if you've never been there before, but once you get used to it, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, sounds like a driver's track. Side by side often there? Do you guys get side by side, or do you got to root and gouge your way around?
We can get side by side, but the inner line is the preferred groove. If you can make the outside work, there's really good side by side racing.
Dave, here on Racetime Radio, we talk a lot about the Ontario, the APC series. We talk a lot about the Parts for Trucks, Maritime Pro Stock Tour, all different types of late model racing. What's the late model scene like on the west coast of Canada? Are you guys on a straight rail car? Is it a perimeter car, coilovers, big spring? What's the style of late model that's out there? What's it comparable to on the sanctioning body side?
Our late models are more like a pure stock. I mean, we do have a straight rail, fabricated front clip, stock front clip. They're all big spring cars, no coilovers, no wide fives. They're all 5-on-5. Stock brakes, stock front steering to like a Camaro. You got cars from like built in the 80s and 90s up until 2017-18. So, yeah, we're all basically on the BC rules, are getting really, really close in terms of chassis and rules for, like, they have different series throughout the province and different tracks, and everyone's trying to get on the same page, and it's actually starting to grow here in BC.
Oh, you got to love it when that comes together. I know we covered over the years, we used to have the ARCA West guys on. They do Williams Lake and they do Gold Pan Speedway and a bunch of them out there. We had Riley on here. We had Johnson on the program. Those guys, and they amalgamated a bunch of rules. Are you guys part of that?
We are, yeah. So the ARCA series is now back to a West Car series. And I actually ran a race in the West Car Series at Agassiz Speedway, which I happen to win, and it's my home track. But Yeah, the rules are the tires. It's always a tire thing in BC. So Western Speedway has their tire, and then Westcar and Agassiz have their tire, and Penticton has a different tire altogether. So right now in the works, they're trying to amalgamate and get everybody on the same page. So it would make racing in BC a lot easier for everybody in general.
Yeah, it sure would. If the rules are good, you know, like if you can get the cars comparable, you know, at the end of the day, if you had to buy a set of tires to go to a special event, you're probably going to have to get a set of skins anyway, so no big deal, right? But if they could get on the same tire, it would make it so much easier.
A little bit easier. But yeah, like you say, if you're going to any type of a big race, you have to buy tires, so... it's just a matter, you know, some guys, you know, on the lower budget that don't run that tire and they have to buy two sets or try to find some old ones to practice on. And so it makes it tougher for those guys. There's a lot of low budget races out there, and we're trying to amalgamate the series to conform and actually help the low budget racers as well as, you know, the guys who just have no problem spending money.
Yeah, and there's all kinds of those guys, right?
You want to slowly burn the money. You don't just want to watch it obliterate itself all at once, right?
That's right.
Dave, how many years have you been racing?
Close to 20 years now.
Gotta love it. Always in a late model? You've been in a late model for a while?
I started in the street stock at Agassiz Speedway, and I raced in the street stock 1 year, and I came back the next year, and they didn't want me to run that class anymore, so I kind of got booted out. And I started running with a sportsman class, and we evolved along the way into a late model class.
Gotta love it. Now, do you get out much anymore these days, or do you stick close to Western Speedway? What's your schedule look like throughout the course of the year?
Well, I ran Western Speedway. I ran the series just to try to win the championship for one of my sponsors, which is Harding Motorsport Supply. And I ran a few races at Agassiz, but I also have a super late model that I run down at South Sound Speedway.
Good stuff. So you get out and about. Now, there's always those big West Coast races down in the U.S. I know Cameron Haley would make trips down. I want to say it's Yakima Speedway. There's a bunch of them down there. Do you ever get south of the border?
I do. I've raced at Yakima Speedway. I've raced in the Apple Cup and the Fall Classic. I finished third 1 year in the Apple Cup, which was probably my best super late model finish. I raced also at South Sound Speedway, which is down in Grand Mound, Washington. And I finished second in their Miller 200, which is a big race.
That's a big race.
Yeah, which was a very, very exciting finish because I ended up finishing up going along the wall and along the fence and almost rolling. And I finished third in Firecracker 125, also at South Sound Speedway. So, yeah, the racing in the States is really great. I'm going to try to make it down to Evergreen Speedway next year in the Super Late as well.
That'll get your attention when you start riding the fence. You get up there. You're not supposed to be up there, but it's exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting for the fans, but sometimes you have no choice.
That's one of those moments. That's one of those moments where the money rapidly combusts.
Yeah.
Somebody wanted to win more than me, and kind of made us ride the fence there for a bit, and we finished 1-2, and we both went across and couldn't drive to the start-finish line for the trophy.
Oh, man.
It was pretty exciting. The fans were on their feet. You know, a lot of animosity, and some guys are a little displeased with one another. But in the end, you know, it's just racing, and we just go back out and do it again.
As a race fan, do you have a YouTube link to that? Because I'd kind of like to see it.
I know,
it sounds exciting. There's got to be a YouTube. If you find a YouTube clip of that, or if you find a clip of it on Facebook or Twitter or anywhere like that, make sure you tag us in it. I would love to share it. I would love to see it. And those types of finishes, I know they're expensive, and I know there's feelings get hurt. But looking back on it, when you're in a rocking chair and you're 85 years old, you're gonna look back on that race and be like, "Damn, that was a lot of fun."
Yeah, no, it was actually a really, really good race up until the start-finish line. But, we were battling back and forth, and it was a lot of fun. Nerve-wracking a little, but, Yeah, no, it's, you know, I just got out of the car and I was like, oh, well, whatever. Finished second, the car's wrecked, but, yeah, I wasn't about to get mad at anybody and start a ruckus.
Well, you got the championship this year at Western Speedway out in Victoria, B.C. How about sponsors on the car? Because you probably didn't do it all by your lonesome.
Harding Motorsport Supply. He's helped me throughout the years. I've been with him for over 10 years. Hemrick Brothers, which is my father's automotive shop. That's where we keep the car and do all the work on it. And Lordco Auto Supply is a local parts distribution, and they give us pretty good sponsorship every year. And Blue Chip Collision, who paints our bodies. And he's pretty busy, too, because I wreck a lot of body panels.
Well, you got to keep them busy, brother.
You bet.
Yeah, incredible. Congratulations on the championship. How about social media? Can fans catch up with you on social media? Are you one of those guys?
Yeah, I do. I do a little bit on social media, on Facebook. And Facebook, I'm just basically under my name as Dave Hemrick. So if you want to follow me, just find me and I'll add you on my friends list.
Absolutely, my friend. That sounds awesome. We're going to do that here in the Racetime Radio studio, and we got to congratulate you on the championship. I know we look forward to following your progress in 2019. We're going to do a better job with you guys out in BC. I vowed at the end of this year that we got to do a better job with BC, and we're going to.
Oh, great. That sounds awesome. It's always great to hear from you guys phone. I was pretty excited that I was getting the call and asked to do the interview.
Good deal. Now, Mike, we're going to have Mike on next. Do you race against Mike? Because Joe pulled up a photo, and he's got a super, too.
Oh, yeah, Mike Haslam. My dad used to race way back in the day against his dad, so it's a long family history there with racing. And I have raced against Mike Haslam, and I always enjoy running against him. He's a really hard competitor.
Cool. Are you going to get one of those sprint cars that he's got? Those things look crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. They're pretty fast. And yeah, open wheel to me is just a little bit taboo. I like to have the body panels around so I don't go flying through the air.
It's just like...
I kind of like to rub doors sometimes. So.
It's just like dirt biking to me with open wheels.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a certain screw that needs to come loose to like both dirt biking and, on the flip side, four wheels with open wheels. There's just one screw, and we'll talk to Mike about that screw. We'll try to find what screw is loose, but if I was in a race car, you could give me 12,000 horsepower as long as it's got fenders.
That's true for me too. Yeah.
Preferably 12,000 horsepower, actually.
Well, yeah. your body sponsor, your paint sponsor wouldn't like it as much because you wouldn't have near as much work for him.
That's right.
That's true.
Incredible. Dave, congratulations on the championship, and I know we'll catch up with you. You have a good holiday, man.
Yeah, you too.
You
Thanks
bet.
Thanks for calling.
You want to believe it. Great to catch up with some champions out in BC, Junior.
Absolutely, and a famous last name, too, by the way. I just looked him up on Facebook here.
Oh,
famous
Hemrick,
last name?
Yeah.
Hemrick. It's the old 21 car down in the Xfinity Series. But
yeah.
The West Coast scene... I got to go to Edmonton this year. That was as far west, of course, that I got to go.
Right.
And really, I had seen the late models run at auto clearing before at Wyatt Group Speedway.
Right.
In the past, but they had an amazing field of cars at EIR, and then same deal with the Pinty Series at Saskatoon. And the very last time that I was out in BC was, of course, at Motoplex. And I remember, you know, seeing the cars out there.
Oh, there was tons of them.
There was tons of them.
Yep.
And definitely a different rules package, though, you know, touching on basically where those rules are. It seems like both the West Coast and the East Coast have a very similar style of car. You know, they're a metric style car up front with the stock brakes. And that's, of course, the Sportsman Series that race in all across the Maritimes,
right?
And then as well in the you know, in on the Rock in Newfoundland, those are as well sportsman style cars,
exactly.
And when you look in the center of the country, it's predominantly, you know, the straight rail super late model style car, and then the Thunder car is kind of that wheelhouse of the metric, you know, style car. It's interesting to me that both the East Coast and the West Coast both have a similar style to them.
Yeah, other than the Pro Stock Tour, which is
a super late model, but they have a sportsman class that sound very. A sportsman car is not the same as a Thunder car here in Ontario.
No,
like by any stretch.
No,
you know, like
there's
similarities, but it sounds like those are very identical or very close to being identical to a sportsman car out on the East Coast of Canada.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It sounds like an affordable division.
Absolutely.
And they're all working towards that and, you know, trying to get those rules paired up.
The fact that in late models you can't have a 1990s car or a 2000 style car and go out and win with it,
right,
or run up front,
yeah,
is a major disconnect. You
yes.
need to have the ability to be competitive with an older style car. You know, there's IMCA modifieds out there that are 25 years old,
right,
that are reskinned and reclipped on both ends and you know, hatcheted together, and they go out there and they're competitive on the dirt side.
They are.
And
yep.
And the same thing can't really be said about dirt late model racing, maybe on the local level in a few different areas, but really a class like that is so needed, and there used to be a lot more hand-me-downs in motorsports back in the day. I remember a late model would switch to a Challenger, would switch to a Thunder car, you know, for a long period of time. That was the natural progression.
Yeah.
And really the hand-me-down mindset of motorsports is, well, we're done with that. You know, we're going to toss it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to scrap it.
Well,
like I've heard that way too many times.
They've got it so far gone in
I know.
You know, like right today, in some divisions, the shocks are worth more than what the cars used to be worth.
Exactly. No,
it's
100%.
It's just crazy. We're going to hit this break. When we come back, another champion from BC. We got Mike Haslam's going to join us, and we're going to talk about his season next here on Race Time. Stay with us.
Hey, this is Matt Kenseth, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Discover a place where the sun and the tunes are shining bright.
This is Jimmy Buffett, and whether I'm traveling by land, by sea, or by air, Radio Margaritaville is my soundtrack.
Immerse yourself in a mix of Jimmy's favorite island music, commercial-free rock, reggae, folk, and live concerts to transport you to an instant warm weather vacation.
It's Radio Margaritaville.
Channel 24 and on the Sirius XM app.
Sirius XM has a commercial-free music channel for when you are ready to proudly fly your freak flag.
We're getting loud and crazy.
Crazy on Aussie's Boneyard.
It's hard and heavy classic rock officially sanctioned by the Prince of Darkness himself, Ozzy Osbourne.
I can't believe I got my own channel, man.
Get your AC/DC, Priest, Zeppelin, Iron Maiden, and Van Halen. Oh, and of course, Ozzy.
Ozzy's Boneyard. Sirius XM 38.
Also available online and on the Sirius XM app.
Alexa, play NASCAR radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win.
Oh! It's unfiltered 24/7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR radio, channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Taking you all the way to the track
and back.
It's Race Time Radio.
Sirius XM 167.
Now, here's Joe.
And we are back with you live tonight on Sirius XM Channel 167. I'm Joe Chisholm along with Junior here in the studio back after 10 weeks. God, thank you for your patience and support. And we are back full tilt, everybody. So we're going to go right through. Tonight is night number one with the champions, and our next guest is a champion at Western Speedway in BC. His name is Mike Haslam, and he's joining us right now on the hotline, and he won the Sprint Car Championship. And if you haven't seen these cars, trust me when I say you got to check them out, because these are asphalt sprints, and man, what a look at race machine Mike's got. Mike, welcome to Race Time. How you doing, buddy?
Thank you. I appreciate that. Appreciate you guys giving me a shout-out on Race Time Radio.
You bet, bud. Good job winning the championship. Tell us a bit about your sprint cars. That series just started up a few years ago at Western, right?
No, it's been around for a while now. It's the Will Rock's been probably 8 years, roughly. It's an asphalt sprint car with Chevrolet motors in them, 350s. They keep the cost down in the motors everybody wants to get into it because it doesn't cost you a whole bunch of money to build the motor, and it's competitive. Like, the people that are in this class, it's just so competitive.
Yeah, it looks it. I'll tell you that. I seen some of the photos of your car, and got to tell you, man, you got a beautiful-looking race car there. I could just imagine those on an asphalt track. It'd be crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's thank you. I appreciate it. I like our colors. The car stands out. Looks good with our sponsors on there. Can't do it without them. And it's a great class. I love racing it. Already got the car ripped apart. Getting it prepared for next year. We're going to do a couple little things different. The young guys that are coming into our class, Brad Allman, James Miller, you got Jarrett Leap, Jared Bird. Those guys have been stepping up, and Jeff Bird, his brother. They're coming after me, and we had our banquet here here about a month ago, and they all come up and congratulate you, but you said they're coming after me next year, so I got to keep doing our homework in the race shop and get it prepared for next year.
When you sit at that head table, the championship table, you draw a massive target on your back, don't you?
You do, and you know what? I like it.
Absolutely.
They pick the dinner as you go for numbers and seats, like your tables, and we're the last one to eat. And I tell my crew, I go, don't worry about it. I'll take a championship over this any day. We'll eat last every year if we have to.
100%, man. 100%. Give me that cold turkey and gravy. I don't care. We got the big trophy, boys.
Yeah, for
that's
sure.
Cool. Mike, tell us, on the sprint car side, obviously, there's a massive amount of sprint cars available out there from the dirt side. How much conversion does it take to take a dirt sprint car and turn it into an asphalt sprint car? Obviously, a different motor package and different things like that, but chassis-wise, are they the exact same?
No, from the dirt, you get the cars with ours with pavement. You try to get them as low as you can without touching the pavement.
Yep.
With the dirt cars, you want them up in the air so that they have the roll in the chassis so that it would roll over on the right rear.
Absolutely.
And they'll get you a forward bite off the corners. But with the asphalt cars, you want them down and dirty and just so you can get that forward bite and so you can get to be the best car coming off the corner, because that's where it's won, getting off the corner.
And no wing on your car, right? Like, I noticed there was no wing on it. You guys don't run a wing?
No, we do not run wings. So we don't have the downforce that the wing cars do. And that's, wing racing is night and day from what we have. To me, I like the non-wing, because now it's up to every race team to get the car to go around in a circle. You don't have all that downforce on your chassis. So now you have to work with your shocks, you have to work with your springs, and you just got to start tweaking on your chassis and your driving and stuff. You can't drive in the corner too hard because you don't have the downforce like you do with the wings. So it comes up to the team for team, and once you figure it out, you just start doing little adjustments, and it's good. I have a very good team underneath me.
So how much difference is it between your car and a USAC car down in the States? Like, there's a pile of big events that take place down there on the asphalt side for non-wing sprints. How much difference is it between what races at Western and what you might see at, you know, the at Phoenix, for instance?
Well, with that, USAC cars, the wheelbase is a little longer than what we have.
Okay.
So that helps you on the bigger tracks and stuff, the sturdiness of the race car entering the corner. But you know what? More and more, all in all, it's all pretty much the same. We're not allowed the titanium that those guys are, and we don't have the big motors.
Gotcha.
So if I wanted to put a big motor in my car, I could go run with those guys if I lengthen my wheelbase. So it's not too far off, and I've thought about it, but we just don't have the extra money just to go buy a motor to go do a one-off. It would be nice to do because those guys are just true race car drivers, and it'd be nice to go up against some of those guys.
Well, they let their champions eat first at the banquet. I just want to let you know that. Their champions get the hot chicken and the hot gravy. So
yeah, that's okay. I mean
no disrespect to Western at all. I think that is a hilarious and amazing, and that is the ultimate Canadian thing that I've heard. The draw for position for when you get, that is amazing. I love it.
But these guys, while they're waiting for the dinner to come, they do get beer. And the bar is still open.
They're buying the drinks. So it's actually smart business right there. It's just like you put a hot dog break in, you never put a break or an intermission on at a racetrack. You put a hot dog break on, right?
That's it.
Exactly. So you guys have got the big check. That means you guys have got the big bar tab. So it's smart, man. They're making money at their banquets.
Exactly. Yeah, Western Speedway, they put on a great show through the whole year for the race fans. Our fans that come out to each night of our weekends at Western Speedway put on, they've done one hell of a job this year. And in the past years, they've done great jobs. And you get a lot of these young kids coming to the races, and it's nice to see because that's the next generation that's going to hopefully come up through the go-karts or even the Hornet classes all over the country and down in the United States. The Hornet classes, it's affordable for young people to get into to see if they like the racing. And then, you know what, if they like it, they just start moving up the ranks, and then they'll start going to be racing against, like, our non-wing racing.
Yeah, that's it. And that's the way it happens, right? It's the natural progression through the ranks to get up to where you guys are. Mike Haslam is our guest tonight on Racetime Radio. He is the sprint car champion at Western Speedway, if you're just tuning in now, out in BC. Mike, you sound like a seasoned veteran. How long have you been racing?
Well, I've been racing since 1986, so I've been doing it for a couple days now.
That's
the year that I was born, by the way. So, not to make you feel old or nothing.
How many championships have you got under your belt?
With the Wheel Rock, I got three now. When I was racing, I wasn't racing for a championship. I wasn't trying to, okay, you know what, I'll take this spot and we'll get the best points. When I would race, I'd try to get the wins. And I wanted the W's more than anything. And then when you get older, you start thinking, you know what, it'd be nice to have some championships under your belt when you do pack it up, or you maybe put someone else behind the wheel. And so I started changing my ways a little bit, being, let's get the best finish we can tonight. Let's look at the points at the end of the year, see where we are. And if we come out champion, it's great.
Yeah, and you know, that's the Mark Martin theory of it now, right? He used to go for W's all the time, and then in his later years, he was trying for those championships, and kind of cool to watch. And it's even better when you can go out and do it like you did this year against some real tough competition. The kids that are coming in now, they come in with a different mentality than what you did back in 1986. I can guarantee it.
Oh, yes, they do. Yeah, with the young kids, they're into the go-karts, like at 5 years old. We're up here at go-kart, Victoria go-karting. It's taken off this year. The guys that took it over are doing a great job. So they're starting to get people interested, the young kids getting involved. So that's a good thing. And then, you know what? Down in the United States, they've been doing this for a long time, where they've been racing in the go-karts. They got the Bandoleros. They got the Legend cars. Well, you're 8 years old. You're 13. You're 14. And now in Madera Speedway in California, 12, 13, 14-year-old guys are racing these late models. And they're putting on one hell of a show down there. And they're in the full body cars. And I've always said this. The race car doesn't know how old you are.
Exactly. It hasn't got a clue how old you are, right? You go out there, and if you point it the right way and you hit the gas at the right time, you're going to have a good shot at winning that race.
Yes, you are. And with these young kids, like, they get the experience from 5 years old up to 10 years old. And they're racing every weekend. So some of these young kids got some very good talent. And it'd be nice to see them, like, make it up in the NASCAR ranks and stuff, because there is some guys out there that don't have the money, but they're true race car drivers, and that would be nice to see again. Bring back the old school days when my dad raced against Mark Martin, Dick Trickle, and a lot of guys through California, too. And it's just back in those days, I wish I was my age now racing then, because they didn't go buy the part off the shelf. They actually had to go in the race shop and make it. And that's what I like. I like it to where it's not about the mighty dollar. It's about how good you and your race team is against the team beside you.
Yeah, I long for the days of Jack Roush's Gong Show, right, where you would take the best from across the country and give them an opportunity to earn a ride. And those days, they're gone right now. But you know what? I believe they're going to come back. It's going to come full circle. Everything always does.
Yeah, the Jack Roush is Kurt Busch. That's where he got his ride. And Chuck and Barb Trickle are very good friends of our family. And my dad, like I say, my dad raced against Dick back in the day. And Chuck and Barb are like family to me now. And I got to race in at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway against Chuck. And I never got to race Chris. And if you guys remember, I bet you it's 20 years ago, he got shot just down the road from him.
Yep,
and
yep.
He was a young, talented race car driver that was going to go somewhere by talent. And that's where Kurt and Kyle came from. So hopefully it'll get back to those roots where race car drivers will determine how they make it up the ranks and not their mighty old dollar.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool if we could get full circle and have that come back where talent was in the seat. And we see that at the short track level, and that's kind of cool. Mike, I want to touch on something else here. You got experience not only in your sprint car, super late model. You've even done K&N racing.
Yes, I did. I had a couple races in the K&N. It didn't go so well. The cars we had, I wish I could have worked on them more. But you know what? The experience I learned from those two races is just unbelievable. I'd like to try that again, maybe down the road. I raced in the NASCAR super late races at the Bullring. We finished third in 2006. We had a great run, with Justin Johnson finishing second, and then Scott Gaffroney won it. The competition down there, the running against my friends down there now, the United States guys, race car drivers, they step up, and it made me step up because where I come from Western Speedway, our racetrack, it has brought a lot of good race car drivers out of Western Speedway in Victoria. And wherever you went from Western Speedway, you were competitive down in the United States. So I just, I packed up and I went down, and I would come back and forth, and I wanted to see what I could do, but I was just too old to try to do anything.
Well, you're never too old. You're just, you're wiser.
The
That's
race car doesn't
is,
know how old you are.
Yeah.
Exactly, I know.
Yeah. It's full circle. This interview was the circle of life.
Yeah,
but I hear you, man, 100%. And looking through on Facebook and taking a look at your racing past, you've definitely done some pretty cool stuff. We've touched on it, you know, through this show already. We've got to do a better job of covering the Western contingent and definitely at Western Speedway and really all the racetracks on the West Coast. Hats off to you for winning the championship.
Thank you. I do appreciate it. And it's my team. I love them. My sponsors. I cannot do without any of my sponsors. And I love the short track racing, your local short tracks. Go support it, people. That's where the young up-and-coming race car drivers that you're watching every weekend, that one day you're going to see them on TV. And that's going to be pretty cool when you get to do that.
Yeah, see the stars of tomorrow today, right? You can see them at your local short track. Yeah, Mike, you got to hit those sponsors, man. I know you can't do it without them. Give them a shot.
Well, I would just like to thank all my sponsors, like I say. I got DBH Enterprises. I got MB Signs and Designs. I got Budget Rental. J&L Repair. I got ProComp Powder Coating. I got Bumper to Bumper. Richlock Rentals. Inflex Fuels, City Concrete Pumping, Alpine Group, Match Eateries, Lindy Air, and Eco Tire. And like I say, all you race fans out there, when the big show comes to town and you guys go support the big sponsors that help those guys race, the same for us when we go to local racing. When you guys go watch your talent, young talent go to the racetrack and you see a sponsor on there, go to their stores and say, hey, you know what, thank you for sponsoring. I went to the racetrack and I seen you guys' names on the cars, and I just want to thank you because I'm a race fan.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well said, my friend.
Also, you're going to need a bigger car if you add any more sponsors. You're in a very tiny car with a whole list of sponsors there.
With the sprint car, it is, yeah. We don't have much room for all the advertising, but I run my late model, and my brother runs it sometimes too, and that's what we got it for. I'm trying to get my dad. My dad is a very good race car, was a good race car driver, and we're trying to get him in the race car. So the next time I told him, I said, next time you bleed the brakes for us, we're going to put the window net up, zip tie it up, fire it up, and push you off, and you're never going to come back in until the checkered flag drops.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good for you. That would give him some zip, wouldn't it?
Yeah, he retired, and it's just, like he said, it took him 20-some years to retire. If he gets back into it, he just might just want to keep on doing. But, you know, life's short, so you got to enjoy it.
Absolutely. You got to enjoy every single day. Nobody knows that more than I do now. I can guarantee you that. Mike, this has been great catching up with you tonight. We're going to check in with you again as we get closer to spring, and we'll find out how those cars are all coming in that shop. Sound good?
Anytime you guys want to give me a call, give me a call. I appreciate you guys' time. And like I say, thanks to Western Speedway, the Will Rock Racing Series, the Sprint Cars, just to all my sponsors. And I truly believe that next year is going to be a good year for everybody.
Dynamite stuff. Mike Haslam, he is a champion. Mike, thanks so much, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Guys, have a good night.
You bet. Out in BC, how about that, Junior? That guy is, he's a real deal right there.
Absolutely. And he touched on one of the things. We both perked up when he said it. Go into your local store. If you see him on a race car, don't just go buy something. Go buy something for sure.
Yep.
But when you're in there, make it a point to say, hey, I seen your ad. I always do. If I walk into a place and I see a plaque from one of the race cars.
Right.
Oh, you sponsor a race car. Look at that. I seen you guys out there. That car had a great run this past weekend or whatever. You know, if I have seen it, always start a conversation about it. And I make it a habit of doing that every time. Well, every time I'm in a local business, you know, there's the UPI up the road in Hepworth, Ontario, and he sponsored my buddy Rick in a Hurricane Midget this year, or in an Oscar Midget,
right?
And you know, I buy all my gas through UPI now.
Good.
And you know, it's because of that, and I made the owner know that right out of the gate. But it's pretty cool, you know, to give back, because that's why you're doing it, right? You're supporting racing. It's just like if I'm standing there buying candy. I don't buy M&Ms because I don't like Kyle Busch. I'm just kidding.
You know, same thing is true with APC stores. I'm not the guy that goes out and rebuilds the engine in my truck.
Exactly.
But I do buy a lot of stuff for my truck, and when I do, I pull into APC and Owen Sound, or I can pull into, I believe there's like 31 or so locations across the province of Ontario, and I can tell you, if I'm driving down the road and I'm not in town and I need something for my truck, I pull into an APC store, because they do everything with racing in this area and in the province of Ontario. And that's how I make sure that I cover those guys off.
Exactly.
I shop in their stores, and that's just one example. But we are going to hit our final break, Junior. I can imagine Luke is laying in the sand somewhere listening.
Guaranteed.
Maybe. Maybe, maybe not.
Or playing
maybe
golf not. Somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, doing something like that. We're going to hit this final break. When we come back, we're going to open the phone lines up and take your calls. If you want to give us a buzz tonight, 888-572-2384 is our hotline number. It's all you from here to the top of the hour before we hand it back to Sirius XM Channel 167. But before we do that, we'll hit this break. Stay with us.
You know, I'm not really good at this Twitter stuff. I have trouble just dialing a phone, you know that.
From coast to coast, you're listening
to Canada Talks.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning man.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so
I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce.
But I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports. And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Rebellion became the foundation of the first generation of classic rock.
We must be in heaven, man!
Come on!
On Classic Vinyl, Channel 26.
on Channel 25.
Classic Rewind
brings you the second generation. Classic rock.
From the vinyl
to cassette era.
Hear it.
Commercial free.
On Sirius XM.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
More Short Track Live, coast to coast, next.
Only on Racetime Radio.
On Sirius 167.
Canada Talks.
What can I do for you?
My name is Elizabeth Cook. I have a show called Apron Strings over in Outlaw Country.
Okay.
Playing a lot of old outlaw country music, cool. A lot of new outlaw country music. Cool. We talk about all kinds of important things, like how to get gum out of the pillowcase.
Shoot, I don't...
Where do Venus flytraps come from? Do you need a chakra cleanse?
A what?
This is your formal invitation to listen to me, Elizabeth Cook, 10 to 2 p.m. weekdays on Outlaw Country. It's Channel 60 and streaming on the new and improved SiriusXM app.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Racetime Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Sirius XM, Channel 167. So glad you could tune in tonight. What do you say we get to the hotline and we bring up Larry, and he's got his shorts on. What's the deal there, Larry? How you doing?
Not bad. I'm in Atlanta.
Atlanta, no
Georgia.
Wonder, no wonder you got your shorts on.
Hey, you know who I am, Joe.
Absolutely, Larry. Larry the trucker.
Yeah. This White Motorsports.
Yeah.
You were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Is that Jason White?
No, not Jason White. It is Dave White, known as Whitey. He was the crew chief, still is, for DJ Kennington,
He was the crew chief for the longest time for DJ Kennington, and then the last couple of years he's been the crew chief for Andrew Ranger under the DJK banner. But he went out on his own as a fabricator, and still working closely with DJ and still going to be the crew chief. David White, and it's not spelled like Jason White. It's W-I-G-H-T.
So he's got a shop in London?
Yeah. So it's just outside of London. It's,
St. Thomas, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Southwold.
Okay.
But it's a gorgeous shop. I would definitely preach it to anybody to take a look.
Okay, sure. I heard tonight, Joe, you've been sick.
Yeah, actually, had cancer. I was the last 10 weeks the toughest 10 weeks of my life. Had my cancer treatments, got them all finished October the 26th, and then at the last 4 weeks I've been healing up from those and haven't totally recovered, but I can tell you, Larry, I'm doing a lot better today than what I was.
Okay, I was talking to Kenny tonight, and he told me you had it.
Yeah. We're on the right side of it now, just healing up and feeling really good now. So, things are coming the right way, brother.
Okay. Sorry to bother you.
Oh, you never bother us.
Never. Did you keep an eye on anything snowball related this weekend, Larry?
Yeah, I don't know if you know. Remember Pat Patterson?
Yep.
He's been broadcasting 9 to 12 yesterday and today from the snowball.
Oh, good.
Yep.
Yeah, he was. I'm going to screw the guy's name up. The guy from Quebec that runs for Kyle Busch.
Raphael Lessard.
Lessard, yep.
Yep.
Yeah, he interviewed him yesterday or today.
Oh, cool. Good deal.
Yep.
Good deal. Did he have Cole Butcher on, the outside pole sitter?
No, he didn't.
Oh, really? Well,
Was Roley down there?
Was who?
Roley. No, he wasn't.
No, Roley wasn't there.
They're going to Speed Week, so that's top secret. I probably shouldn't have just said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to New Smyrna.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be good. You can guarantee that. But we're going to continue on with champions until Christmas. What do you think of that? We still have a bunch more to go through.
Yeah, That's good. I heard LP tonight.
Yeah. And good on LP, right? You've watched LP for a number of years.
Yeah,
good stuff.
We're just trying to get things together for next year.
You betcha. You betcha. They'll get it all dialed in.
Good hearing from you, Larry.
Okay, take it easy, Joe.
Thank you.
Drive carefully, okay?
Okay.
You want to believe it. That's Larry. He is in Georgia in his shorts. Imagine that, Junior.
I'd like to be in my shorts.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yep.
No kidding. Well, today, it was a nice day today in Ontario.
It was a gorgeous day down south.
Yeah.
It was, like, down in London. It was all of 65 degrees. And it was nice.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous.
Gotta love that.
But I hit the fog, basically, Chesley on the way back home.
Did you?
And the temperature went from, 14 degrees Celsius to right down to nothing.
Five.
And then it started thunderstorming. I'm like, what?
Oh, really?
What season are we in?
Yeah.
But,
I landed in Toronto at 7 a.m. this morning, and you could not see the ground
until
we were just about on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. I've never flown into Toronto where you couldn't see the runway from like 5,000 feet or so.
Yeah.
And I've seen the wings go down on the plane, and the landing lights were on, and I could hear the gear drop out the bottom, so I knew we were getting ready to land.
Yep.
And I'm looking out the window, and I'm looking and looking and looking, and I'm going, well, I wonder where he is, because we got to be still up high, because we haven't broke through the clouds yet. And ba-boom.
Yep.
And we were on the ground. I thought, wow, good pilots.
At least you've got a really long runway.
Oh,
we did that. We did that same thing when we flew into Long Pond, Pennsylvania, with the I'm not going to throw them under the bus, but all the race teams down south, they all chip in, and they get a charter.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a charter plane, but it's a full, like, we're talking 737.
Right.
And we're flying into Long Pond, Pennsylvania, whatever the little airport is. It's only about an hour, half hour away from the racetrack. Might be Wilkes-Barre. But anyways, we did that exact same thing. But it's a big plane, the same size plane that you're normally on, right?
Right.
Like,
yep.
The big passenger plane. It's not like we're talking Learjet here. And it's a really short runway. And when it's really short, you know it when you land with these guys,
because
they hit it and stop.
Yep.
And they take the safety side a little bit off because it's a charter, I think. But, we were just sitting there, and we didn't know that we were coming down, nothing, and all of a sudden, just whammo. And the guy in front of me, he actually bounced out of his seat.
Did he?
He bounced right out of his seat, right into the aisle. And
really?
And it was quite incredible. But
sneaks up
on you.
Same sort of deal. Years ago, I flew up to Whitehorse, in the Yukon, for my sister's
Between
wedding.
The mountains.
And when you would fly up, you would land, you'd leave Toronto, you would land in Edmonton, and then you would go Fort St. John. And then there was another one, Grand Prairie, I do believe.
Yep.
And then you would land in Yellowknife.
Yep.
Or not Yellowknife, Whitehorse.
Yep.
And same thing. I want to say it was Fort St. John that the runway was really short. And you're coming in, and at that time it was like a 737.
Yep.
You come down, and when you touch that asphalt, like, I mean, he's got full brakes on, he's got the thing blowing backwards, and he is whoaing that plane down, and you better have your seatbelt on, or you're going to be pinned up against that seat.
Yep.
And I looked at my dad, because there was four of us that flew up there. I said, wow, like, man, did this guy ever jam the binders on? My dad says, I've never, ever felt anything like that. I said, you wait till we go to take off. I said, because he's going to have to do the same thing, like he's got to rev this sucker up and go.
Yep.
And we sat at the end of the runway, did the big turn. He wound that jet right out and popped the line lock, and we were in the air in no time.
Yep.
But I'll tell you what, you want to talk acceleration? When you're in Toronto and you're going down the runway,
they got miles.
It's just putt, 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 putt. It doesn't even feel like you're going to lift.
Yeah.
And, up and off you go. You barely tell.
Not when you're on a short runway with a big jet.
Fort St. John, back in those days, I don't know whether it's the same today, but at Fort St. John, I'll tell you what, they got after it.
I hate
that thing flew.
I hate roller coasters. I'm just going to point this out. I despise them. You won't get me on another roller coaster. I don't care how much or what I need to, I wouldn't do it.
No.
And, I just won't. I will not get on another roller coaster. But
chicken.
I would go in a heartbeat in a fighter jet off of an aircraft carrier.
Oh, really?
Does that not look like the scariest thing but the coolest thing ever?
Absolutely ridiculously scary.
I want to do that.
Yeah,
but not actually fly it. I'd like one of the skilled guys to do it. But I think that would be a pretty kick-ass ride.
Yeah, well,
anywhere in a fighter jet obviously would be cool, but off an aircraft carrier, that just it has boggled my mind since I've seen it the first time, and I've watched YouTube videos for hours. Just it's the coolest darn thing going.
It is.
But all the respect in the world for those guys.
I want to let you know, I got an email. Yep. We get emails all the time, but I got one from Dale Sutherland.
Really?
Yeah. And a nice long email, and yep. He's got a suggestion for Racetime Radio, and we're going to take him up on it.
Yep.
He, in the email, talks about back in the day at Delaware Speedway.
Yep.
And Scott Lindsay.
Yes.
He said, you know what? It'd be great to hear Scott Lindsay on Racetime Radio.
Absolutely.
He had a great deal of success in his career, and he was running against some of the toughest guys. He ran against Rob Lee back in the day.
Oh, absolutely.
Those two guys were switching it off all the time. Rob Lee'd win or Lindsay would win, and I remember Scott Lindsay's car, and so will you, because your 100%. Junior late
Hammond
model
Fuels.
Was Hammond Fuels, and it looked the same as that number 20, I want to say. His car was 20, wasn't it?
Yep. Yeah, he was the number 20, and really, you know, it was really cool, because the final year that I worked with Andrew Grizzell, we won the championship down there, but the 2 years prior to that, we got a chance to race against Rob Lee, Scott Lindsay, Ronnie Sheridan.
And, yep.
You know, the list goes on and on, of course, Jesse Kennedy and all those guys. But Scott Lindsay was one of the hardest guys to get around anytime.
Yep.
But the cleanest guy as well. You know, never touched a car, just super fast, super smooth, just a great cat. And really, it's funny because, you know, working in the Pinty series, one of his main crew guys, Jeff, Mr. Sutherland would remember Jeff, you know, I talk about Scott Lindsay with him all the time.
Yeah,
do and,
you?
Yeah. You know, just reflected back on it. But we can make that happen for sure.
We're going to. And
very easy.
Dale, if you're tuned in, I imagine you are. I want to thank you for the email. And I'd encourage anybody, you got thoughts and you want to hear something specific on Racetime Radio, please send us your thoughts. Send us an email. Let us know what you're thinking. Call into the show, whatever. But we really do appreciate this kind of stuff, and we're going to do this. The next couple of weeks, we're going to concentrate on champions from across Canada. Want to do that because we got to give the champs the due airtime that they deserve. That'll take us into the Christmas break, and then in the new year, things are, you know, that's a perfect time to get guys like Scott Lindsay on this program. And
really, guys, you know, like Sheridan, too,
Sheridan.
And Rob Lee. And,
yep.
And
it'd be a good idea.
Chuck Lawler and Andy Schmidt and guys like that.
We'll do a segment, Where Are They Now?
That would be really
and
cool.
And it would be a good idea. And it doesn't have to be from Ontario, you know. It can be from all over the place.
Absolutely.
But next week on the show, J.R. Fitzpatrick, the APC champion. We're going to get him.
He's busy down at the Derby this
Cole
week.
Cole Butcher, that was also busy at the Derby, sat on the outside pole, finished ninth in the Snowball Derby. Good run for the 53. But we'll be yanking on his cord to get him on the show because he was the Parts for Trucks Pro Stock Tour champion. So we'll get definitely him on. We're going to hear from Wayne Walsh, too. He is the late model champion from Eastbound International Speedway all the way out in Newfoundland. We'll hear from Wayne on the program either next week or the week after. And we're going to have some more champions. I'd like to get the one from Wynette Group Speedway.
Yep.
Wynette Group Speedway. Find out who the champion is there this year. And we'll get the late model champ on from there. And we're going to search around. We're going to get some more.
The NASCAR Whelen Series champion from Delaware Speedway.
Sure.
Or, Sunset Speedway.
Sunset, yep.
You know, and as well, the Great Lakes Concrete Series, stuff like that. We've got lots of stuff to cover off.
We do, and we're just getting back into it.
We're back. You're back.
Yeah.
Look at you.
There you go. And feeling good. But you know what? That's going to do it for us tonight here in the Racetime Radio studio. Got to throw it back to Toronto. And we will be back with you next Sunday night right here on Sirius XM Channel 167. That's going to do it for us. So for Junior, I'm Joe. We will talk to you next Sunday right here. Don't be late. We'll be back here 9 p.m. next Sunday night. Thanks so much, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.